Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to finish up your little statement there.
Oh, that's what, all right. You're more important than this. I'm talking about somebody that lived in 460 BC. You're in the now. Let's talk to you.
All right. Heard about your program. I'll be glad to listen to it whenever I can catch it. You know, I'll be kind of busy working and different things. Yeah, I learned a lot and from your program. And what happened when a person has chronic bad breath? What's the situation with that? Your brush, floss, and everything, but your breath seemed to may not be best of all ages.
Let me talk about three things. Number one, if somebody has a continual low-grade infection in their tooth or their tonsils or their sinuses, that'll easy make the breath so foul it just never goes away. So I don't think this has to be just a real detailed conversation, but it's easy, for example, for an infection to get in through a cracked tooth or where there's an old root canal or a cap. So if this person has a tooth that continually hurts or is overly sensitive, like if you drink cold water and that tooth hurts, bingo, we've got it maybe some type of infection. And sometimes these can remain hidden, you know, so to speak, for years until, you know, pus starts coming out from it. So the next thing I would look at is the tonsils. The tonsils are this most incredible filtration system that's trying to pull out anything toxic from being absorbed into your digestive tract. And I know this is not a great conversation to start Saturday morning, but I can't even tell you how many people I've seen their health problems just completely resolved just by milking the tonsils. Look it up if you want to. There's a very simple technique where you gently try to express all the old rotten debris out of the tonsils, and I think it's easy to do. And I wouldn't talk about these things if I hadn't tried them all myself. The other thing that I like very, very much is I like trying to wash the sinuses clean. There's a product that I can purchase at Drug Emporium and probably other places too and online. It's called NasoPure. And it has these pre-mixed packets of salt and baking soda. And I have found them very, very effective for irrigating the sinuses and washing debris out. Now, I'm not trying to say that any of these techniques, quote, cure infections, but they sure go a long way to helping. So if it were me, if there was bad breath, what I would do is I would get a tongue scraper. And so I would start scraping the tongue. Number two, there's a type of mouthwash that they sell at the drugstore and sometimes other stores. It's the brand name is called The Natural Dentist. It's called Mouthwash for Healthy Gums. I think that is an excellent product.
Okay.
I would scrape the tongue. I would use The Natural Dentist mouthwash. I would brush my teeth with probably baking soda. And then if you need to, go to a competent physician or dentist and have the sinuses, the tonsils, and the teeth checked to see if there's any type of continual low-grade festering infection, because that could just smell like death warmed over. Number next, it is entirely possible. Actually, what you should do is the person that has a bad breath, have them stick their tongue out and look at it in the mirror. If it's just completely covered up with just deep, deep cracks, it makes me think there's a weakness within the stomach. And so for some people, a stomach weakness could cause... when you eat food that contains protein or fat or carbohydrates, if you digest the carbohydrates, that's not a problem at all. But if you don't, usually a person's going to produce a lot of gas because carbohydrates ferment. But usually the gas that comes from carbohydrate fermentation is pretty much odorless. It doesn't have a foul odor. That's not so with protein and fat. If fat turns rancid or if you eat rancid fat, it smells horrible. This would be like if somebody ate, I can tell you what I'm thinking of. It may not sound logical, but if you went to a movie and you said, yes, I'd like some buttered popcorn, please. Well, what if the butter has been sitting in the vat for like 2 weeks and it's turned rancid? If you eat that, you're going to start passing horrible rancid gas in short order. Isn't this just a great topic for Saturday morning? But if
a lot of times things seem simple, but a lot of people dealing with it, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So thanks for your thanks for those words. But protein, if your stomach is not digesting protein properly, then protein can putrefy.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. When I was a little boy, I went fishing for catfish, and I went to the store and bought some chicken livers, and I the next morning I had a whole bunch left over because we didn't do any good fishing for catfish that day. But I noticed that the catfish livers, I mean the chicken livers, the plastic container and lid was bulging. I thought, that's weird. What's that? I made one of my classic mistakes. I lifted the lid only to have the gas, you know, push out. That was a worse smell than I've ever seen. Haven't you ever driven down the road before and smelled an animal that's died and it's just decomposing?
Oh, yeah.
So, bad breath, I would look at those areas right there.
All right, sounds perfect.
Yeah, all right, thanks, buddy.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good day now. Appreciate your call. Bye-bye. I haven't given out the phone number, but I will right now. The number at the station is 903-586-5257. I have complete liberty to come up with any health topic that I find interesting, and of course, just because I find it interesting doesn't mean you will, but I just think you will, but it's more important for me to take phone calls and serve you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Doctor.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm going to catch you real quick so you can get on to what you need to be doing. But listen, I was going to listen to you at 7. I didn't know I was going to hear you at 6. You've got a body double running around, or you've got a cologne.
It's probably neither. If you heard me at 6, it had to be a recording.
But I'm doing this for your listening audience as well. This was, if you get a chance, I forgot to mention last week, show number 1036 was last week, 1037 from the People's Pharmacy.
Oh, yeah.
You can just listen to the doctor. She sounded Indian or what, but you talk about everything that you talk about every week, where you get your book knowledge from years back, on all, in other words, back to the 1900s, 1800s,
yeah,
whatever it is. I mean, I almost fall out of my chair. I say, that's my
8
Dr. Morgan talking. So what this was directed in the morning in regards to the young child and how to help them and all the things that you talk about. What I'd like you to, if you get a chance to where you can listen to these at your convenience on your bucket list, I would like you to be able to try to tell us that are a little older, does it, do these things also apply to us adults and how we can benefit from them?
You're talking about that program from the People's Pharmacy?
Absolutely. You can just listen to it a little bit, move your dial, and you can say, the man that's calling, I can see exactly why he thought that I had a second wife, a body double, or a clone. And then the very last thing, Doc, you probably listen to hear these things from time to time, but being a busy, busy man, I'll just go ahead and mention it for myself and take all the credit in relations to any kind of derogatory remarks that would come across. KKBB does a little communication with our the old chest hospital called Health Connection TV.
Oh, yeah.
Where the doctors cover different types of subjects.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And this week, I don't know if that's what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't heard it. What are they talking about?
Well, it was in regards to an advancer from Dr. Bill Hyman in relation to cancers and some advancements and things, which I'm sure that they're doing, but they're melanoma and leukemia. And my question to you on that, if you get a chance to look up that Health Connecting TV, I was just wondering if you kind of got an idea. Where I have not listened to the whole thing other than the advertisement, but I was just wondering if you maybe were to get a draw on where
they were drawing their
research,
some of the
information on cures.
All right, well, thank you very much.
That's all I wanted to say, my good doctor.
Oh, good deal. Well, thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, sir.
All right, have a good day. I appreciate your call. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
This morning I watched a short video that I found interesting, but they were interviewing a top oncologist. And once the oncologist made the following comment, I kind of started to question. The topic was brought up, what about any... Okay, so what we have is we have chemotherapy. And it showed him hard at it, you know, studying the chemotherapy under a microscope, doing all these lab studies. But someone brought up the topic of what about natural therapies for cancer? And the first comment of his mouth is, he said, "I don't want to give people a false sense of hope." And I thought to myself, did I really hear that correctly? And folks, I have zero desire to be negative. However, you already know that I'm very biased. I am biased toward any therapy that is not toxic. For example, if I tell you that maybe or you should consider eating broccoli, as long as you chew it up and it's thoroughly digested, I mean, can you imagine any diabolical consequences to eating broccoli? But on the upside, there are compounds found in broccoli that have very strong anti-cancer effects. Now you tell me, would you rather engage in therapies that would keep you strong and productive and radiant in good health? Then yes, yeah, so you may want to know about these things. But he made the comment that let's not really spend too much time on natural therapies because there hasn't been enough testing. And granted, he's right about that. But natural therapies, for the most part, they are substances that are just found in nature that cannot be patented. Therefore, a drug company cannot engage in extreme profiteering from it because they don't own the molecule. I know currently they're trying to, or at least a lady told me this week, a scientist, that they're trying to synthetically recreate the effects of, let's just say, medicinal cannabis oil, because they want to own the patent to it if they can synthetically create it in a laboratory, that, thus bypassing what God has designed in nature. But I'll give you a little heads up or a tidbit here. It's going to be impossible for man to recreate what the good Lord himself has done. It just cannot be imitated. Now, if that ends up not being true a million years from now, then I stand corrected. I'm not worried about that. But my confidence in God's design and nature is it cannot be improved upon. It cannot be imitated exactly. It cannot be recreated. It is what it is. Either you give credit to the living God. Now, as far as the topic that I thought of, what I really wish when somebody would make, when these oncologists would get on the radio and actually start espousing what their success rate is, be fine with me if they actually gave some numbers. And if they have a 2.5% cure rate, which means they have a 97.5% failure rate to some degree, I really wish they would say that instead of we're making exciting changes that are leading to 0.001% improvement. I mean, that's just not fair. Do you ever think that sometimes we're just looking in the wrong direction? I don't want to come across as cynical, but I think all you have to do is just follow the money for the most part. Letty told me recently that a new emergency room that just opened up in Tyler only requires 8 patients a day to make a profit. And so let's just say this ER, the standalone ER clinic, or emergency care clinic, let's just say that they're fully staffed with physicians and nursing staff, and for all I know they have an x-ray tech and somebody that can run a CAT scan MRI. They have other accessory, you know, support staff from receptionists to secretaries, and I don't know how many employees they have, but wouldn't you agree with me that most likely it's predetermined if your foot sets into the doorway saying, "I've got a problem, I need some help," let's just say that you're throwing up and vomiting and that's where you choose to go. Don't you think it's going to be, if they just need 8 patients a day to turn a good profit, what do you think the bill is going to be? It's not going to be a small bill. It's not going to be $40. Take some Phenagrin. How about we give you some Pedialyte or Gatorade and call me in the morning and let me know if you're better? No, probably not. It's probably going to be one big honking bill, and that's kind of what we've turned into in the world, that healthcare is so expensive. I think I heard on the radio this week that the largest insurer in Texas is going to ask for, what is it, a 58 or 59 or 60% increase in rates for the year 2017. Let me say it this way. What if your insurance that's required to be compliant with Obamacare is costing you $500 a month. Well, look at this. Randy and John Paul left a calculator right here for me. Okay. What is 500 times 60? 300 plus 500. Oh, that's right. All of a sudden, next year, you'll be paying $800 a month. Or whatever the number is. You get the gist of it. I mean, if that's the policy plan that you use, that's what I should have said. So, you tell me, how's our economy going to improve if every ounce of money we make is going to pay for very, very expensive health care? I'm not saying I pride myself in this, but I know for a fact I love all these high-tech tests. If your doctor says he's ordered like a test I've never heard of before, I'm saying, how cool is that? What does it show? How does it help us evaluate you? Does it help us determine what's not working right? Does it functionally test how different enzymes work or the quality of your blood? I like all that stuff. But I still think that that's going to be to some... I mean, it probably helps a lot of people. But I'm going to suggest to you that for 2 out of 1,000 people that those expensive tests may radically help and improve, I'm all for that. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that just pay a whole ton of money for a test that really doesn't show much of anything on how to improve them. I'm going to give you this quote from Hippocrates right here. It says, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, he lived from 460 to 375 B.C. Now, if those numbers are correct, I mean, what is 460 to 375 B.C.? Is that like, what's that, 40? No, I'm sorry, 60 plus 25? Was he 85? No, never mind, I got the numbers wrong. I was trying to determine how. Anyway, here's a quote from Hippocrates. Life is short and art long. Opportunity fleeting. Experience misleading. And decision difficult. It is the duty of the physician not only to provide what he himself must do, but to enable the patient, the attendants, and the external circumstances to do their part as well. I don't see anywhere in here where it says rely on a drug or a surgical procedure only. Anyway, I find that interesting. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open currently, so you can get right in. The number here is 903-586-5257. If you've never heard this program before, I'm Dr. Morgan, the host, and this program is Health Essentials. So what can I do to assist you this morning, or how can I help? What can we do to improve your present situation and get you moving in the right direction? Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning. It's just been a while I turned down my volume. I don't want
to. Thanks. I kind of caught you off guard, didn't I?
You did, because I was listening to you on the radio and I forgot about the delay.
Well, that's okay.
And yeah, okay. I've got prostate issues and I've got several things. First is, by the way, I'm 69. And it's hard to pee. It's hard to start. And I don't even feel like I fully eliminate all the time. The other is I've gone to the doctor recently for that, and they did some tests, and I guess it's just the general physical, really. And they found my PSA went from last time 2.4 to up to 5.2. Mm-hmm. They did a retest. It was 5.4. They did a biopsy, and now they've scheduled me for a bone scan and a CT.
Well, on the biopsy, did they find you had prostate cancer cells?
You know, the doctor was out. His nurse called. He's coming back to the country. He's out of the country. He's coming back in. So that would be my suspicion as to why they asked for a bone or schedule a bone scan and a CT.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they're concerned that there's been some cells that have spread from its original location to a different location. And the bone marrow is certainly one place it can go.
Yeah.
You know what came to my mind when you first mentioned prostate?
No.
And this is an old study that comes from Canada, but I'm going to tell you, just because it's Canadian doesn't make it not valid, right? Just like if I read medical studies from Pakistan, if someone's genuine in their research, I can take it from anywhere. I'm just sort of joking about that. But in this particular study, and I'm just going to be just real simple here, they did everything they could to convince men that had elevated PSAs in the fives to do their very best to cut out sugar and grains for a season. And then they had them retest, and the ones that came off sugar, their PSAs dropped. So something's causing inflammation or swelling in the prostate, or you wouldn't have a hard time passing your urine.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Dr. Dean Ornish, who's a very, very famous medical doctor, he's come up with some interesting ideas about heart disease that almost no one can follow because he tries to put people on an extremely low-fat diet where maybe 10% of your calories are coming from fat. But my point is, it's completely undoable. You're just going to feel like you're starving to death every day, and plus you need fat. But he had men in her study that had prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to try all these different therapies to see what was going to work. But he had a group of men. I don't remember the exact number, so I'm just going to say 400 men. They completely refused all the medical treatments. They didn't want to have radioactive pellets inserted in the prostate. They didn't want to have their prostate cut out and removed because they were concerned they wouldn't be able to function as a man after that point. They opted not to get the estrogen or the chemical therapies or estrogens. They just didn't do any of that stuff. They said, we don't like it. Some people would call them rebellious, but maybe they're smart because he gave them a plan B. And they said, well, what do you have in mind? He said, would you be willing to try maybe something else that wouldn't be so toxic? And they said, well, let's hear it. He said, what would happen if you start exercising every day? And forgive me for not remembering the number, but I'm going to say it's either 35, 40, or 45 minutes a day. Just brisk walking. But he had them basically eat a high vegetable intake diet that was composed of low concentrations of carbohydrates. So that's going to be things like kale and spinach and romaine lettuce and celery and broccoli and cauliflower, you know, greens, squash, stuff like that. I know, I sound like broken record, don't I? But he had them do that, and what he did was he checked this one particular prostate gene marker. And when this gene marker is elevated, it tells me the proclivity is toward prostate cancer. But when that gene marker goes down low, so you already know where I'm heading with this, don't you?
I think.
Well,
I like it.
I'll tell you what, it's just about free, and it's non-toxic. But at the end of 3 months, he retested their blood, and he noticed that the prostate gene marker, or the expression of this gene that promotes prostate cancer, was becoming, if you want to say, in remission or dormant or non-existent. So it's almost like this new dietary regimen, exercise regimen, completely flipped off the switch toward the development of prostate cancer. Does that make sense?
It does to me, yeah.
That's why I don't really get hung up if somebody comes and says, well, you know, my doctor says I'm just doomed because it's my genes. And I'll say, well, did they do a genetic study? And they go, no. And then, well, how do they know? But your genes are there. They will serve you either way. If you, this is not meant to be negative, but if you're just a couch potato all day long and you're just sucking down soda waters and eating Doritos and donuts, I mean, really, what's your genetic potential going to be? It's going to be pretty doggone low. But if you exercise, if you take care of yourself, if you have a positive frame of mind, incidentally, it's hard to get people well, if ever, if they're ultra negative and they complain about everything. It just is nearly impossible.
I don't do that.
Oh, I know you don't. I can tell you're a happy dude. That's why I had the freedom to say that. But have you ever heard of a person just being so angry all the time? Well, is it really a surprise that they die of a massive heart attack? No.
Yeah,
I think just about everybody's put two and together. You better calm down. You're going to have a heart attack. I mean, a pretty famous dude here in East Texas just died of a heart attack, and he might be one of the most angry people. I don't think I've ever heard a word about him that wasn't involving anger. But anyway, enough of that. So if you start off in a different direction, let's just say you decide to deprive yourself of carbohydrates like refined sugar. And in your case, I would probably say things like strawberries and blueberries are going to be just fine. But besides that, I don't think I'd eat any fruit at all. I would just focus
what?
On I wouldn't eat any fruit besides that.
Oh, my goodness. I have fruit smoothies probably five times a week. I make them myself from fresh fruit.
And I'm not trying to say that's bad, but what I'm doing
so
is...
So I should put vegetables in there and cut out the fruit, or...
Well, yeah, or coconut oil, or coconut milk, or flaxseed oil, or olive oil, stuff like that.
Yeah, well...
Because usually, if you decrease carbohydrates without increasing fat, a person feels like they're starving to death.
Well, I heard your ribeye steak comment last week. I like that.
Well, I meant mix that in with your smoothie. That's what I really meant. You shouldn't even cook
it. Oh.
I'm sure you'll enjoy that. See, you're laughing, but because if your wife served you a ribeye steak right now, you would say, I am not eating that delicious, I mean, that horrible-looking piece of steak.
Exactly. Exactly. So what was the name of that doctor that did the test?
Well, is Dr. Dean Ornish. He's got
Ornish.
He's got a fabulous-looking mustache, kind of curly, spoofy, Afro-esque hair. That's what it looks like to me.
But
I mean, it's just like out there like a round ball.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun when I walk.
Good.
I'll definitely pick that up.
The other thing that I want
to... diet, I wanted to go find some more information on what I should put in my diet.
Well, there's one book called The Perfect Health Diet. And you might just look at that, because that's like super cheap. If you can, the book that I'm reading right now, I paid 64 cents for it because it was a used copy. A new copy would have been like $23. Now, I did pay $3.99 shipping from a bookstore from Tampa, Florida, but who cares?
I got it.
$4
and
change. But anyway, that particular book, The Perfect Health Diet, I've seen it on the shelf at half-price books for like $6, which is probably where I go to scrounge for books sometimes if I go that way.
Yeah. See, I realize I have some problems with the prostate, but all right, just basically, I believe the scripture that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I know God, how he ornates his temple from the Old Testament. And I'm just thinking, you know what? I need to do the same for my temple. And so that's why I was looking at what to put in there.
Very inspiring, your words. Keep going.
A while back, I went to a natural doctor here. I'm in Texarkana, and I've lost track of him now. He moved, but he had me eating off sugars and off a lot of other stuff like that, breads and such. And I got to tell you, the Ezekiel bread was dry as anything. Didn't really care for that.
How dare you speak evil of Ezekiel bread?
Oh my God. I need to take a drink of water every time I took a bite. It was
how does that affect me? You're the one getting more water in.
It's just, yeah, that's kind of funny. But at any rate, I lost weight. I felt healthier than ever before, more alert. But my wife and my cousins, everybody said I looked gaunt. So obviously I wasn't doing something right, where I felt really great but looked like I was... gaunt.
Usually if a person eats enough fat, you can take care of that gaunt look.
Yeah, I bet that's what it was. I wasn't eating the fats. I was eating the outside of the... He said eat the perimeter of the grocery store, but I was staying away from fatty stuff, and I guess I should
have.
Well, thank you. This has been great.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for your phone call.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. You know, one other... consideration that I would think of, and this is just going to be in the category of, what do I do about that? But I would venture a guess, if you've done all these things, I would probably look to the possibility that you might have a continual low-grade bacterial infection within your prostate. If you want to call it a parasite, I have no problem with that. But if you have healthy tissues... No, what I should say is, actually, I'm going to have to disguise my story here because it implies some person. Anyway, we won't go into that. But the prostate is an area where you potentially have significant amounts of sugar. And so, given the right circumstances, and because this is a family-friendly program, I'm not going to go into all the different ways that a man could pick up a foreign germ. But, I mean, you're smart, you can figure it out, but I have discovered with men that have chronic issues with prostates, even if they've done wonderful natural remedies, Sometimes it's just as simple as a continual low-grade infection that's just not leaving the prostate. And that is your source of continual inflammation and irritation. Let me ask you a question. What would happen to you if you had a continual infection in one tooth to the point of an abscess? Every so often it flares up, pus comes out of it, your gums are red and irritated, and you might think to yourself, well, maybe this is just a little bit of gingivitis or a gum issue. No, 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 no. It's what's under the gum. For all I know, there may be an infection in one of the tubules or canals within your teeth, or maybe there's a crown or a cap on it or a filling that's lost its integrity. And the loss of integrity allows bacteria to freely move in and out of the teeth or the mouth. You know, there is a type of bacterium called Streptococcus mutans. And it's famous for causing cavities, meaning it can eat the bone and the dentin and the enamel. Now, that's what I really wish. If I could come up with some solution to cause enamel to grow, could you imagine what that would do? I'd have a death sentence. Or not. Anyway. Oh. Anyway, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. One of the problems with the prostate is it's kind of hard to penetrate that, so you need to really upregulate the immune system. Now, there is a gland within the body called the thymus gland. And I think just about every person that I've ever examined or tested, I find the thymus gland is really, really weak when it comes to prostate cancer. So usually I'm trying to strengthen the vitality of that gland so the immune system can actually do its job. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Oh, you betcha. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm going to tell this as much as I know the facts of it. My husband has recently started symptoms of diabetes, and it's been what they call quick onset, and he's not really reacting to the insulin that they've given him, and we really don't know exactly what's causing all this. He did have a CAT scan of his pancreas and all of his gut areas, and that came up clear. His liver and his kidney came up clear, but they just don't know why he is having such a reaction or a non-reaction to using his glucose. Do you have any ideas?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to really tone down my questions because I don't want to be offensive. But
okay.
Let me ask you just a couple simple questions and just be very, very vague. Does your husband have, besides what he's dealing with the diabetes or the pancreas right now, does he have a lot of stress in his life?
No.
Okay, good. Is there any history, whether it's mother, sisters, aunts, uncles, other relatives, grandparents, has anyone had any autoimmune diseases of any kind, like eczema, psoriasis, vitiligo?
Not that we know of.
Rheumatoid. Okay, so none of that, right?
Not that we know of.
Okay, years ago, I was reading some research about the development of diabetes, and this is what it said. So you can take all this with a grain of salt.
Okay.
In the medical profession, they said, what is the number one correlation to drug use in the people who develop diabetes? And I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. And I think they had a little over 1,000 pharmacies participate, and all they did was they looked at certain drugs that were prescribed with the occurrence of those patients developing type 1 diabetes, which I'm not saying that's what your husband has.
Okay.
But the drug they found was, it was Flagyl, a common drug that's used either as an antibiotic or an anti-parasite. But I would say the most famous drugs, actually there's probably three or four classes of drugs. Number one, I told this to a person this week, and I think they looked at me with, you know, they saw that I had genuine concern, but there are drugs that cause diabetes. I would say statin drugs that lower cholesterol. They're very, very famous. Does he take statins?
Yes, he does.
Okay, number two. Has he taken any antibiotics in his lifetime, or has he been completely...
Yes.
Well, would you guess it's more than 10?
I don't really know. He's had lung surgery and hip replacement.
Well, then bingo.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to do a hip replacement without putting him on IV antibiotics. Yeah. It just ain't going to happen.
Right.
I mean, even if a woman goes to the hospital to deliver a baby and they do a C-section, bingo, antibiotics.
Oh, yeah.
If they did like an episiotomy, intravenous antibiotics, they're just going to hit that pretty hard. So, but that's one of the things that we're going to discover is it's going to be the types of bacteria that are growing and living inside of them. So either we have a class of bacteria called the firmicutes, and these tend to be all the diabetes-causing germs, or we have the good beneficial ones. So he needs a do-over or a total makeover in his gut. We need to take, this is only analogies, don't take it as me being sacrilegious or irreverent, I don't mean it that way, but there's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. You've heard that, haven't you?
Not.
I was going to say overcome toxic bacteria with good bacteria. That's really not a scripture, I just sort of made that. So that needs to take place. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this to you real quick, because I intended on reading it anyway. This comes from Richard D. Feynman, Ph.D., and this is the article that he's written called Dietary Carbohydrate Restriction as the First Approach in Diabetes Management. And there's a colon that says Clinical Review and Evidence Based. So he goes through all the articles, but I'm just going to read the shortest part of it to you.
Okay.
There is no, and I'm quoting Dr. Feynman right here. There is no doubt that the diabetes epidemic is related to too many carbohydrates in our diet. The strongest proof is that more than 20 dietary trials, including only type 2 diabetics or patients with decreased insulin sensitivity, have shown that a low-carbohydrate, high-fat diet is able to improve and even normalize all the laboratory signs of diabetes, and many of the participants in this study have been able to quit their insulin and there are other anti-diabetic drugs. What do you think about them apples?
Well, that sounds wonderful.
So if it's not an autoimmune reaction, I would say we need to make it very easy on him, which means does he have room to improve his diet?
Most definitely.
Okay. So the book that I recommended to the gentleman on the phone a while ago is called The Perfect Health Diet. It's just a pretty simple, I like it because it's just easy.
Okay.
You know, you might want to just take a look at that. And, of course, it's a horrible photography because on the front cover it shows a fork with a piece of steak and some asparagus and an avocado on top of it, which I find that very offensive.
Oh, I found that wonderful.
But you notice what's not on the fork. There's no Pop-Tarts. There's no rolls. Yeah. There's no chips. Mm-hmm. There's no grains.
Right.
And I know I'm making just very general statements, but I say there is no room for half measures now. We need to save your husband. Has he worked hard in his life?
Yes, most definitely.
Does he want to blow all his savings on diabetes care and amputations? No.
We don't.
No, you need to save your money. And so what I want you to do is consider low-carbohydrate vegetables. You can almost eat as much as you want. If you want to make a salad for him, fine by me.
Right.
But olive oil, olives, avocados, he can feed him pickles. He can eat all the zucchini squash he wants, cheese, eggs, lots of olive oil on everything.
So anyway,
personally, to give him a chance to heal, it's not like I can just examine him, you know, over the phone if I could.
Right.
I would probably discover very quickly that he's got a serious issue with the pancreas, and I would ask, is it an autoimmune in nature, or is it because of insulin resistance? But it can't be that hard to figure out. And I find it very, very frustrating that doctors have such a hard time finding out what the problem is.
Because they're normally looking to an endocrinologist or something like that, because everything's showing up fine, and that's just, he's lost about 55 pounds in 2.5-3 months with not trying.
That's what you would see with type 1 diabetes sometimes.
Right. Yes. They called it onset, you know, just finishing off so quickly.
I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this. But I ask every patient that goes to the endocrinologist, what do they tell you? And it's just basically they told me I needed this much insulin. But I said, did they give you any dietary advice? No. Did they tell you anything about exercise? No. Did they talk about supplementation to improve the function of your body? No. Now, I have a relative, and I'll just kind of say it vaguely, but I have a relative that was voted the top diabetic nurse in the state she lives in.
Mm-hmm.
She also weighs about 3 1/4.
Wow.
And so just because she's highly skilled at telling people when to take their medications and how much insulin to take, that still doesn't reverse the diabetes.
Right.
All it is just kind of a drug treatment approach, which I really wish I could tell you that giving your husband insulin is going to cure and heal him. It is not. But it may be necessary for a season. But when the way that almost all drugs are designed, you're supposed to just use them for maybe 3 months at the most until you can kind of get your house in order and get your body back in good repair. So,
okay.
I would look to the possibility of either a viral infection, a bacterial infection. I would probably say there's some degree of dysbiosis in the gut. But the people that don't respond real well, they have way too much inflammation. So one particular definition of inflammation means it's a repair deficit. But I would say if his body is generating inflammation, you can expect all the enzymes that manage blood sugar not to work right. That's one of the reasons why I like giving people fat, because fat tends to decrease inflammation if it's good fat. For example, from coconut oil or olive oil, or if he okay. if you wanted to melt fresh butter on his broccoli or his steak, that would be fine too.
Okay, good.
With your asparagus and avocado.
Right.
Yeah, and so those are some of the ways, but have you ever heard, like if I were to walk in the grocery store and see corn oil on the shelf and it has like a heart healthy, what is
symbol
that?
On it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you, you knew what I meant. But it has this beautiful red heart that says it's heart healthy. That couldn't be any further from the truth.
Right.
Studies show that when people use corn oil or vegetable oils, it wrecks them. It causes heart attacks and diabetes. Does that tell you how powerful the food industry is, if they can just keep telling us lies over and over? Now, olive oil is not that way.
No. Right. Hey,
what type of oil do you think they use in the Old Testament? Like if Samuel, the prophet, was going to anoint David as king?
It was olive oil.
You sure it wasn't corn oil?
I'm sure.
How about canola? You think it could have been canola?
Most definitely not.
Okay, I'm going with your answer. But your husband, is he able to walk and exercise, did you say?
Not really.
Okay. Does he have limitations because of his hip?
Because of his hip and his knee, yes.
Is it the same side of the body or is the right knee?
Opposite side.
Okay.
Right knee, left hip.
He's got it kind of on both sides then, doesn't he?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And it definitely limits him.
Well, we've got to find some regimen that he can do.
Okay.
I know years ago I read an article about men in construction accidents had broken both their legs either on, falling from scaffolding or getting crushed by something. And they had them just lift weights with their upper body, and it was a phenomenal result.
Okay.
The ones that exercised the parts they could exercise, they healed 50% faster as compared to those that said, you know what, I've got two bad legs, can't do anything.
Okay.
Anyway.
Gotcha.
But you know what I think the most important thing is?
What?
I think if your husband has the will to live, then he can accomplish anything that he wants to. And that's where the term vitality comes in. If I, and this is what happened this week, so you can just take it with a grain of salt. I walked into a large store in Jacksonville. I won't mention the name Walmart because that's what it, oh, rats, I did. But when I went in there, I was watching some people check out the grocery aisle. And these people were using, what is it called, the EBT card or the Lone Star card to get their groceries?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm judging them, but I'm thinking, okay, everything they have is something they would just pop in the microwave to heat up. So all they have to do is just remove it from the box, put it in the microwave, heat up their pizza rolls, and eat it.
Right.
Or it was, but it was all these prepackaged foods. Their shopping cart was not filled with broccoli and cauliflower and onions and sweet potatoes and avocados and whole chickens and sardines or fish. There was none of that. No, it was all packaged up. So would it be that much of a guess to say those are very, very low energy people? Not that I'm judging them, but they don't have enough energy to even consider taking a sweet potato and putting it in the oven, baking it, and put butter and cinnamon on top. They just can't do that. It's too much work for them. And so that's what you want. You want a person having so much healing energy and vitality that we can resolve that knee issue and we can further improve the hip and we can reverse the diabetes. But I would venture a guess because he's got a bad knee and the hip's just not right. I still would say let's look for some type of a toxic germ living inside of him, because if we can get rid of that, then we can remove his thorn in the flesh and his immune system will be free to heal the other tissues. So if your husband develops inside of him this strong will to live and to heal, that's where I see people give up cigarettes, and that's where I see people put down alcohol, and that's where I see people stop using drugs, because they feel better.
Right.
You know what my success rate is at telling people not to smoke? I've had 27 years. It is zero. It never works. It just turns people off. Now, sometimes I have desperate people come in, but if I tell them not to smoke, it's just a big turnoff. I'll never see them again.
Right.
But if I strengthen them to where they have more healing vitality and their body's in better working order, then I've got their attention, and then right. they'll choose on their own to do it, and I like that plan better.
Right. Well, he quit smoking about 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago, and he's just commented so much how much better he feels just from that.
Whoa, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Boy, am I rooting for him. So what else do you think can be done to really, really support him and help him and encourage him?
Just love him.
Okay. We're going to have to take hugs and kisses therapy.
Yeah. No.
So is your husband listening right now?
He can if I turn the radio up.
Well, you don't have to turn it up. You can just tell him what I said. I think he's going to need at least one massage a day.
Okay.
He's going to need about 15 to 20 minutes of hand-holding and stroking and caressing. And I'm going to venture a guess that 25 kisses is going to be probably a pretty good prescription. What do you think?
He would sit here and look at you and go, what?
No, but the thing of it is, if they're delivered with a smile on your face, they'll work a little bit better as opposed to a frown.
That is true.
But even what I read earlier from that diabetic researcher, I mean, you know, there's no way I could make this stuff up. If we could get him to just give up grains and sugar and fruit, and just for the next 2 weeks just eat vegetables and meat and good fats, he would see a transformation that no physician could do for him.
Okay.
If I had $1 million, I do not, I would be willing to go on TV and wager all that $1 million on a challenge. And I would be more than happy. I don't mean it's in a negative way, but can I say, can we just take the standard endocrinologist with all their drugs and let me challenge them against diet, lifestyle, and nutrition? And at the end of the, let's just say it's for 3 months. Well, I'm going to win every single time because people are going to feel better if they want to. Now, if someone does not have the will to live and to improve themselves, then there's not much you can do. Just like I mentioned earlier, if a person is used to complaining nonstop and negativity, it is hard to get them to heal.
Right.
Is it by any mistake that it says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean? What is trust? You know where the word trust comes from? I just read it the other day. It comes from the same word that means tree. It means deeply rooted and rock solid and unyielding. And I kind of like that idea that we can trust in God. So let me see. Love, hope, courage, faith, trust. Man, all those things exude strength and healing, as opposed to bitterness, resentment,
right.
anger. Anyway, enough of that.
I got you.
But I hope this helps your husband a whole lot, but I bet you he's either having an autoimmune reaction. I just need to find out if it's a low-grade infection or an allergy of some kind that's triggering all this.
Okay.
But we need to get rid of all his inflammation and get him in the healing mode. And the better he feels, the more he'll want to participate.
Oh, correct. Yes.
So
okay.
Remind him when you're giving him a shoulder rub not to resist.
I will.
At least I know now he can't run away from you because his knees won't let him.
That's true. He can't run away from me. You're
See
right.
there? You got a captive audience.
I do, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. This program is called Health Essentials, and the phone number is 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I've been listening to you for a while, and I appreciate everything that you're telling us, and I'm trying really hard to do what you say. My question is this. You're talking about olive oil. I've used it for quite some time. There is a place up close to Dallas in Grapevine. They have it's an olive oil company. Are you familiar with the place?
No. I figured you were going to say they had a winery. I'm joking.
They probably do.
You said grapevine. I mean, never mind.
Anyway, they have infused olive oils in all different flavors, and they also have balsamic vinegars.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When you speak of olive oil, would there be anything wrong with an infused olive oil?
No. I mean, what are they infusing it with, herbs?
Yes.
Yeah, what's no, zero problems whatsoever with that.
Okay.
It's like, if you told me there was we were going to a wedding reception and there was infused water that had cucumbers and just whatever else. Man, that tastes good. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of an infusion, let's just say, do you have a rosemary plant at the house?
I don't.
Well, I was going to say, if you've ever had fresh rosemary that you've kind of clipped off of the bush and put on the chicken that you're baking in the oven, I'm telling you, it is divine. It is phenomenal. And I guess I like to eat infused chicken.
There you go.
Well, almost everything is an infusion if you blend it, but sure, that sounds great, infused olive oil. Way to go, kiddo.
Okay. The other thing that I've read and heard about is when you start cooking with olive oil, that it breaks down and it's not as good for you if you cook with it. It's better more for dipping or putting on your salad.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you agree with me that probably olive oil is not going to be used by McDonald's to deep fry their french fries? It's just not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Because it's not that heat staple. But if you were to use a very, very low heat, I think
to fry an egg.
Yes, ma'am. Our stovetop, I guess it's numerically calibrated from like very low to warm all the way up to the number 10. So I've got from, you know, 0 to 10 on the power. I think that when I cook an egg, if I were to use olive oil, I'd probably put on a 2, so I'm just thinking low and slow, not fast and overly hot.
Okay.
And I just always use those old cast iron griddles that I have at the house.
Love that.
I think my cast iron griddle is probably like, let me see, how old am I? Yeah, it's probably from 1792.
Yeah. Well seasoned now.
Yes. You know what, half the time all I do is just wipe it down and I'm done.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all. See, I'm infusing flavors into the...
Exactly.
Anyway, you're very, very welcome. I appreciate your phone call. But you've got a great plan with those infused olive oils from Grapevine.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, there's time for another phone call. The number's 903-586-5257. See, this gets to be pretty creative because whether it's thyme or rosemary or basil... Just think of something that would probably be perfect with olive oil. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I have an issue with the toe.
Okay.
It's the small toe away from the big toe, the very end. It's got a real thick... toenail.
Okay.
And it itches a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do for it.
I have three possibilities for you. Number one, it could literally be that there's a fungus growing under the toenail.
Uh-huh.
And I would say the number one reason why fungus, not the only reason, but the number one reason why fungus would grow in the little toenail is because it's not getting sufficient amounts of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you solve that, then that's where I see those toenails go away. Now, number two, if the toenail itself is almost like it has a discoloration to it that might look like it has a light brown or yellow to it,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
where you would see what's called very poor lymphatic circulation. Mm-hmm. And the lymphatic system is a little bit different than the circulatory system. So in your arteries, they carry blood. But in your lymphatic system, they carry what's called lymph fluid, which is like the dishwashing Dawn detergent of the entire body. It washes and bathes and it cleans you. So either way, let me give you some possibilities. Do you like to exercise or to walk at all?
Yes, I do.
I've had some people do very, very well with castor oil.
Uh-huh.
But because toenails grow very, very slow, you just have to use your imagination. They're not going to clear in one day.
Sure.
You know what I remember years ago? I had a lady come see me, and her toenails, they might be the worst that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And in her case, she had so much lymphatic congestion. Actually, let me start over here. The liver. One of the roles of the liver is to make lymphatic fluid for the lymphatic system.
Mm-hmm.
Or make lymph or interstitial fluid.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And I remember we did a gallbladder flush with her, and she had a lot of gallstones that came out, but I remembered specifically that her toenails cleared up faster than I think I've ever seen a person's clear, just with cleansing the liver and the gallbladder. So I think that probably there was some congested back pressure on her lymph system,
mm-hmm.
and getting all those gallstones out, or breaking them down to where they could pass. I can tell you right now, there's going to be people listening that just cringe when I say stuff like that, because they go, Are you kidding me? You can't do a gallbladder flush. That's against the law.
time. All right.
Aren't you completely responsible for your health?
Yes, sir.
I think that when a person does that and doesn't put their surgeon in charge, that, you know, things could go well.
Uh-huh.
There's times to put a surgeon in charge of your health, but not... So when she cleaned her liver, she did it to herself. Her
uh-huh.
toenails started looking normal again.
Right.
But the reason I said castor oil earlier is because almost always, wherever you topically apply castor oil, you're going to increase circulation, especially lymphatic circulation. So,
okay.
I just love the old name of castor oil. It used to be called the palm of Christ oil. Now, that doesn't mean I know exactly what that means. I have some ideas, and I have a vivid imagination, but you just try rubbing some palm of Christ oil. The next thing that I would think of...
Uh-huh.
Promise not to laugh at me when I say this, because everybody else does. But I'm a firm believer in wearing wool socks. And my personal favorite, I love merino wool because it's so soft. It's not like you're wearing scratchy, you know, sandpaper and steel wool in your socks.
But yeah.
Merino wool socks, this is going to be one of the most fabulous fibers of all time to cover your feet with. I don't even wear anything else, even during summertime. Merino wool socks. I love them.
Okay.
So if you want to have beautiful feet and toes,
uh-huh.
wool socks will be an aid. Castor oil will be an aid. I am a huge fan of increasing oxygen to the toes. Now, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question here.
Okay.
What is the very best way to increase oxygen to the toe? A, eat more sugar. B, exercise daily. I'm only going to give you two options.
I know that would be B.
Oh, you get an A+ on your report card, yay!
But I am guilty of eating sugar, but I have cut back a lot since listening to you.
Well, and that does count, that you're moving in the right direction. I'm very proud of you. So there's not many things that just suck the oxygen out of the body like sugar does.
Okay.
So, but it does, it does taste good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from it. But while I have you on, is there a reason why my ears would itch a lot? I clean them with Q-tip, and nothing comes out as far as wax, but they itch a lot.
It could be a low-grade fungal infection.
The inside of my ears.
Yeah, but you know what I want you to do? Could you just try putting a couple of drops of castor oil in your ear, please?
Oh, okay.
They sell a type of oil that's it's called ear oil.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine it costing more than maybe $6 for a small bottle.
Okay.
But if you were to put a few drops in your ear, ideally you should probably, you don't have a hole in your eardrum, do you?
No.
Okay, so if you were to lay on your side and uh-huh. just put a few drops of the ear oil, I think that'd be fine. And I just realized I am all out of time, so thanks to your phone call.
All right, thank you.
Yes,
have a good week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.